Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
On the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And as always, I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler. And as you may have guessed by the opening song show tune from Hairspray, Good Morning Baltimore, we are going to take you to Broadway Live. And I have as my guest award-winning actress Avery Summers, who has appeared in theatrical productions like Ain't Misbehaving, Showboat, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, Chicago, and South Pacific. She appeared in the movie Lost Everything and currently appeared in Broadway Live in Boca Raton, Florida. And also with us is producer and director of Broadway Live, Sherry Upton. Sherry is also an actress who has produced and directed nearly 50 productions, including Fiddler on the Roof, Cabaret, The Roar of the Grease Paint, and Danny and Sylvia. She won a Best Director's Award for the production Side by Side by Sondheim, and she is listed in Who's Who in America. And Ms. Upton has worked with numerous celebrities, including Ben Vereen, Tony Randall, and Kathy Lee Gifford. Well, you know what? We have both ladies here, so why don't we welcome to the show Avery Summers and Sherry.
Hello there.
Thank
How
you.
Are you, ladies?
Good to be here.
It's great
Glad
to be
to
here.
Have you.
Thank you.
Well, I guess I should start with you, Sherry, since you're the director and producer of Broadway Live. So why don't you tell me something about the production and what is the show about?
Well, Broadway Live is a great show that keeps on happening. We have done the show in New York with Robert Cuccioli and Stephanie Pope, Terry Burrell, Christine Tisdale, Tricia Rappier, who is now in Sister Act on Broadway. And then I thought, well, it does so well in New York. We have amazing talent in South Florida. And, of course, just about everything I do that turns out to be amazing has Avery Summers in it. I always ask Avery to be part of the shows and the things that I do. And so Avery was in it with Wayne Legette and Jody Langell. who was in Joseph and the Amazing Coat. And we had full audiences and standing ovations, and it's basically it's an easy show because it can be updated. We could do shows of 40 years ago, shows that are running on Broadway now, and this time we did something special. We did a show that is coming to Broadway,
mm-hmm.
and that was the story of Ray Charles, and it was called Unchain My Heart, and I'm sure Avery's going to tell you lots of stuff about herself, but I know that she does songs of Ray Charles, so I just said, Avery, why don't you just handle that section? And Barry Levitt is our musical director, so they just stood around the piano, and it was sensational. And that's basically Broadway Live, Songs of Broadway. So that was, I think it's a good idea, don't you?
Well, it sounds like a great idea.
It is a good idea. It's a great idea because the audience loves it, because the songs that they hear in each show is sort of tailor-made to each audience, I think. And when they come in, they come in, and when they leave, they're tapping their finger. They are clapping. They are applauding. They love this show because they love those Broadway songs. And we did the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons
yes.
within that. And that's when the audience really, really went wild. They loved that music very much.
Did you do some songs from Jersey Boys?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did. We did a medley of Frankie Valli hits.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the girl.
When you said Frankie Valli, it reminded me of Jersey Boys.
That's right.
Exactly. That's what we did. We did songs of Jersey Boys. And when we go from show to show, and we do Les Mis, and you know, people are, they watch it and they're happy, and of course they smile. But when you say, now we're going to do songs of Frankie Valli and Jersey Boys, the whole audience, is that right, Avery? They all
yes.
go, ooh.
Yes. They go, ooh, yes. They love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and yes. they kind of like that the best. But what about Hair? I think we had kind of fun with Aquarius.
Yes, we did. You know, there was a revival of Hair, and so we talked about that and decided that we there are those of us who are of a certain age who have done Hair, and it was really a lot of fun. And you know,
well, we actually had Florence LaRue come on our show. Not this
oh,
one, but
you did
on the network. Mm-hmm.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. That's really nice. The Fifth Dimension, two of them, will be here in South Florida in, I think, a couple of weeks. So
oh.
Billy Davis and Marilyn McGoo will be here.
Wow,
oh,
that's great.
When is that? That's great. Oh, is that over at the Colony?
Yes, it is. So
oh,
what a treat that is, you know, to have them here. But, yes, we have such a wonderful time together. Sherry and I have worked together, what is it, maybe two or three times now, maybe four or five, I don't know. And
exactly.
It's really wonderful. I enjoy it very, very much. And we bounce off of each other lots of ideas and things and always come up with a really good product that people love.
Well, you know, that's part of it. Avery and I, we both had long careers. But it's so nice when you can work with people that you like and they just understand you, and you just have to give the direction. And you know that they're going to do it and then some. And that's always that's such a pleasure to do with people. Because lots of times I work with people, well, I'm not saying, you know, most of the people are, you know, pretty good, but sometimes it's a little more difficult. But with Avery, it's just great. It always happens. So what are we doing next, Avery?
Well, you're an actress, but what it seems like you're enjoying producing and directing. More so, or are you combining all of them together?
I guess you might have heard through the grapevine that I was an actress. I never really say I'm not, because I still maintain my equity card. I've been in Actors Equity since I'm 13 years old. So I think it's just great to maintain my membership in case I get that, you know, wonderful call. But I don't get a chance to act as much. I had switched my career in my 30s when I went to my last audition for Fiddler on the Roof, and there were about 300 women who looked exactly like me wearing scarves around their head. and all going for Fiddler on the Roof, I said, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I'd rather be the person who casts the show and who
they come to.
Yeah, exactly. And that was, but if there's a part for a gal with a very red hair, I will do it. I will be there.
Well, who's helping you produce the show? Because I know it.
I have a company.
Costs money.
Yes. Well, I have a company, and Avery knows my partner, Sandy Durrell, and we call ourselves Sherelle Productions because I'm Sherry and she's Durrell. And we have a website, www.sherellproductions.com. And we've been doing our Broadway Live, Hollywood Live, Timeless Divas, and that's when we were working with Ben Vereen and Tony Randall and Kathy Lee Gifford and Karen Akers, and just lots and lots of great, wonderful stars of stage and cabaret. I don't think Avery and I, did we know each other then?
No,
because Avery is a perfect timeless diva, and that's who we got. We got people who had been around and were wonderful, and then we added men, and we call it Timeless Divos.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's
yeah, that's when we
the
had...
The Divas and the Divos?
The Divos, yeah, and I think somebody copied our name, Divos. There's a new singing group, but I think that's the word in, what is it? Is it Latin or Italian? The word Divo. I think it means male diva.
Mm-hmm.
And we know a lot of those, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well,
but,
both of you, are you both living or residing in Florida?
Yes.
Aren't you from New York originally?
Are you from New York, Avery, originally?
No, not originally. I'm from Jamaica originally, but I was raised here in South Florida.
And you, Sherry? So I thought I read somewhere that you started in New York.
Yes, I'm a New Yorker. I really am a New Yorker. When people say to me, where do you live, I always stop and think. I'm living in Boca Raton, but I've been here for 5 years. But my heart is not in San Francisco. It's in New York. And I go to New York as much as possible because we do our shows in New York on tour. We do the Broadway and Hollywood Live on tour on the East Coast. And frankly, all my theater friends, most of them the old dear friends, are in New York. And so I go back and forth. But I am a Florida resident right now.
No, I know you just finished doing a show, this show, in Boca Raton. But it's ended. So where does it go now?
Well, this show is now we're now going to do Hollywood Live, which is another show that we have at Hofstra University on June 23rd and 24th. We will be doing three shows there. We have a New York cast because this is New York based, and it's Songs of Hollywood. We're going to do a tribute to Gene Kelly because it's Gene Kelly's 100th birthday.
Wow.
So we'll have a special, we'll also have a little segment, Disney movies and movies that have gone from shows to movies. And we've got a wonderful gal. Her name is Christine Bianco. She's in musical, the music, which is
mm-hmm.
running off Broadway right now,
mm-hmm.
And she's also done Forbidden Broadway, so she's going to do many, many different characters, and Ron Bomer, who's been on Broadway in The Phantom of the Opera and in Sunset Boulevard, he won many awards, and of course, Nancy Anderson, who, you know Nancy, don't you, Avery?
Yes.
She was in Wonderful Town on
mm-hmm.
Broadway,
mm-hmm.
and Kiss Me, Kate. She's won many, many awards, and Barry Levitt, our musical director, and we'll be doing that at Hofstra. Can I give you a phone number to call in case anyone wants to make...
I was just about to ask you if you got a website or a number that people can
call. Well, there is a phone number for reservations, and it's on Long Island, and it's 516-463-6644, and that's June 23rd and 24th, evenings and matinees. So that's the
is
next
that 8
show.
O'clock evenings and 3 o'clock matinees?
Yes, I believe it is, but of course when they call, they can make absolutely sure that those are the times. That sounds like the usual time of shows. And Broadway Live, well, we're seeing we might have another booking. I haven't told Avery yet, so I can't really disclose it. There was someone there who wants to book it for their community here, but we have to sign the dotted line. So I don't want to give that away.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be great.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this question. You know, there's so much stuff happening on TV that sort of highlights Broadway, like Glee and MASH. What do you think about the Broadway-orientated shows on TV?
Well, Glee is fun. To me, it's there. It reminds me of that show 90210 when they did Beverly Hills when the kids were very old.
90210 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had to pretend that they were young. I think Glee is wonderful. I think the kids liked it. I think it's kind of enough already with Glee. And then came Smash, this wonderful, fabulous show that I think the workshop is very true to workshops in New York. The backstage story is a little soap opery. Do you watch it, gals?
I have watched it. I'm so busy, I don't have time.
I have watched it.
Well,
and what I
do is I TiVo it, and then as soon as I get a minute, I watch it, and it's like a soap opera. And you know where the leading lady to get her part has an indiscretion with the director, and then it's going to come right back in her face. But I have to say that I love it. I think that Megan Hilty is absolutely fantastic. Isn't she amazing?
Yes, she is. She's wonderful. She really is. I'm not really wild about the show because I really don't think that a lot of it is true, but because I've been backstage in many shows myself and in rehearsal processes and things like that, and a lot of the things that they have Megan doing are not anywhere near what someone would really do. Stopping rehearsals so much to complain about somebody standing over
you
her shoulder.
You are right.
You're absolutely right.
That was one part I forgot. Yeah, when she stopped and she said McPhee was bothering her and the gal had to leave. Yeah, no, that would never happen.
No, that won't happen. You know.
Well,
no.
Speaking of that, there's something in the play that I read that you also tell little stories almost similar to what we're talking about now.
Yes.
These little naughty stories that go on.
Well,
each of us
in
the shows, you know, we get a chance to talk about the sort of things that have happened to us. And so, Sherry, you probably have a whole bunch of stories that you've heard over the years.
Oh, yes. I don't know if they could be disclosed here, but we just tell a little backstage gossip, things that people might not know. The time when, what was it, Gwen Verdon, when she swallowed a feather and couldn't go on, and Liza Minnelli filled in for her.
Right.
But what we have is, and I think
she
swallowed
a feather from her boa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how many people know that?
No one.
I mean, yeah, and it just sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? But what we do is we put it in the form of a contest too, and we name, we tell the story surrounding the show, and surrounding the actress, and we ask someone in the audience if they can guess what show it was and what actress. And then they win a T-shirt that says Broadway Live. And I think we never see audiences get very serious about this. There's something about winning a T-shirt. they really, and one person yelled out in the back, I said it first. I said, oh, I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. And, yeah, so next time we have to get a lot of T-shirts so we can just throw them out, you know.
Exactly.
Because they all want to win a T-shirt. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I want to step away from that for a moment and ask Avery about her her one-woman show, is it? This Little Light of Mine?
Yes. This Little Light of Mine was a show that I decided to write for myself because when I came back to South Florida, I actually came at about the same time that Shari came here about 5 years ago, and I went on the open calls, which are the auditions for all of the different theaters here in town, and I could not get a job. So I decided that I'd better write a show for myself. But that's not something that I was not familiar with. I've always written my shows anyway. So I sat down and I started writing my show. And then some friends of mine said, hey, I know someone at the Education Network here in South Florida in Palm Beach County who might be interested in your show. So we spoke, and they loved it. It was about the music of Della Reese, Donna Washington, and Pearl Bailey. And so I decided that I would have sort of an audition, you know, and try to get three young ladies. Well, I got a slew of children from Palm Beach County Schools to audition, and I opened the show up, and I made the young girls the alter ego of those three women at the age of 15, because in my research, I found out that they had all started singing gospel music at around that time, and that was my through line for This Little Light of Mine. And it turned out beautifully.
And it was fantastic. I saw it. Yes, it was excellent.
It really, I was very proud of the young people because I had never worked with 13 to 17-year-olds. I always thought they were a little snotty and, you know, but they were adorable. They were adorable. They gave me what I wanted. They didn't give me any angst at all, nothing. It was really wonderful. So it's been running here in South Florida on the Education Network since 2008.
Do you primarily perform in musicals, or do you do drama?
I do what is known as a straight play. Yes, I do drama very well, as a matter of fact. I enjoy doing it. I have sort of made my career around musicals, and I really wish that I could do more. And that's the reason, fortunately for me, in the 5 years that I've been here, I've done a lot of independent movies. And you know, ranging from comedy to drama, so it's a lot of fun.
And so you did some soap as well? Soap?
Yes. Yes, yes, I did. And that was something that I did not realize was going to be as intense. Shari, you know, you have to get a new script every day, and then when you walk in, they hand you new pages. And you
I don't know how you
pages,
do it.
Throughout the
that,
pages that
intense,
you had learned
right?
overnight.
You have to remember so quickly.
So fast, and then, you know, and then you don't have to, I mean, you walk in and they say, oh, good morning, go to wardrobe, go to hair, go to makeup, and oh, by the way, you've got 10 new pages, and then you walk in and you throw away the blue pages and you take the pink pages. When you get to the set, you throw away the pink pages and they give you the yellow pages. So, you know, don't commit anything to memory. It's just, you just have to learn it in a hurry and drop it, learn it and drop it and learn it and drop it. That's what they do, and I loved it. But it is really difficult. It's really difficult.
Well, do they have cue cards? I always wondered about that. Do they stand somewhere with cue cards?
Well, sometimes, but it just interrupts the flow, really, as far as I feel. It really interrupts the flow. But what I tell you they are so good at doing is they know each other's characters so well that they would assume that this is what you would say. You understand what I mean? So that if you're not saying what's on the page, this is what you would probably say because I know you well enough that that's probably what you would say.
Oh, I see. So
yeah,
a lot of ad-libbing
is
going
on. You
have
to do that because otherwise it would just go on forever. You know, how many times could they do takes with people memorizing? And there are a lot of older actors as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, is there a studio audience? I mean, you're just in there in front of the studio audience, right? So you just on that bit?
Yes, the studio audience was there many of the times. When we would do a pickup shot, they were gone. But more often than not, the studio audience was there, and it helps, you know. It really helps. It's like then doing a live play, you know.
Almost like a reading, though, since you say you keep switching pages.
Well, that's before you get to the camera.
Oh.
Before camera. That's before camera. It's like, you know, doing the rehearsal, and then you do the camera rehearsal. And now you drop those pages, and you just go for broke.
Well, you know,
yeah,
I mentioned that both of them. Go ahead.
You need to be in the moment. I mean, I just, to digress just a bit, when I was a kid in summer stock, we used to do, we had a show for 1 week, and then we would be learning during the day
mm-hmm.
the show for the following week.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were called sides, which meant all you got was the cue of the person
mm-hmm.
who spoke. And you didn't get, half the time you didn't even know what the play was about.
Mm-hmm.
All you knew was that you heard your cue, and you learned it. So actors just, I still marvel, you know, how they can do it. But you do it,
mm-hmm.
because that's what they do.
Yes.
You know, that's what they're supposed to do. That's what they're trained for.
Yep.
Well, I heard that in Hollywood, that you just come in and do a take. Maybe you don't even see the star ever.
Well, very often you don't. Very often you don't. You have someone doing off-camera lines, means there's the camera. Someone is standing either to the left or right of the camera so that I will have someone to look at as if I'm talking to them. And it's very rare when you have the star there, very rare.
Well, you know, I was going to play, and I don't think we have time, a song by Barbara Streisand, but you did was it a movie with her husband, James Brolin?
I did a movie.
Lucky
we were
you.
In, yes, and he was such a sweetheart of a person, just very generous, camera time, just generous with his time. It was originally called The Sirens of Eleuthera, and it's just a beautiful piece. But then they changed the name of it, and I got missed of what it was really ever since then, what it ended up being called. I don't remember what it was called now, but I did that in 2007. We were there for 2 weeks in the Bahamas, and couldn't have been more wonderful. I really loved it, and I don't think it was ever shown anywhere.
Get out.
No, and that's why I don't remember what it was. I did hear that it was changed from Sirens of Eleuthera because they didn't want to give away the whole idea of the sirens, because the sirens come from the sea. And
right.
They kind of, yeah. So they kind of thought that that would give away the whole idea. But
well, I hope they release it. So
I hope so,
part
too.
Jason and the Argonauts, right, the sirens?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So. Let me ask you, Sherry, about,
yeah.
I've never heard, what is the League of Professional Theater Women about?
Oh, the League of Professional Theater Women is, which leads me to something else here in Florida. It's an organization of professional women who have to have a certain criteria to be a member. And I think now, when I was president, there were about 150, 175 members. Now it's international. Some wonderful women have succeeded me and taken it on and on and on. And it's advocacy for women writers, women directors, and women in the theater, just what it is. And we are making inroads, but not enough women directors on Broadway. And
oh, yes.
Writers. Yeah.
Very
and
true.
That's what the League stood for. But I'm also going to be president of the National Society of Arts and Letters, which is the South Florida chapter. And Avery was just a judge in our musical theater competition, where we send the winner to the nationals, because we have chapters, 25 or 28 chapters all over the nation, and they compete for over $10,000 in prizes for musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who was one of the winners several years ago at the National Society of Arts and Letters? You ready?
Megan
Helty.
Hilty.
Yes.
Yes.
So the gal who's starring in Smash, who has this incredible career now, was one of the winners of musical theater many years ago, not terribly long ago, for the National Society of Arts and Letters. And so that's another advocacy, but this is for young people in the arts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I love doing that as well, always, you know, standing up for a cause. And there was Avery as a wonderful judge.
I enjoyed that day so very much. I really did. Those kids were wonderful.
Yep, we had 28 contestants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long day judge.
That's quite a lot of people to see, and they were so they sparkled and they were open and they wanted comments and criticisms, you know, and everything. It was just great. I really enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, we wished we had that opportunity with somebody like yourself to be able to tell them, you know, a little bit about how to do it, how to be better and in their craft.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell me about your individual backgrounds. What brought you to the theater? Were you always interested in it as children?
Do you want to go first, Avery?
Yeah, sure. I tell you, I started singing when I was 5, and quite honestly, I mean, you hear this a lot, but I really did start singing in church when I was 5, and but about the time I was 8 years old, I saw my first show, and I knew that was what I wanted to do. I mean, I cannot tell you the goosebumps that I get even now thinking about sitting there as an 8 year old, knowing that that was what I wanted to
do. What show was it?
I was just thinking that. Can you remember what show?
Oh gosh, I cannot. I can't. But I can tell you the song. Button up your overcoat when the wind is cool. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. And I don't know what that show. I'll have to look that up. But that was the song. Now, you see, I remember the song. I don't remember the show, but I remember the
goodness
song. Do
anyone
you know what
have
I mean?
A computer?
Well, you were meant to be
up.
A singer then.
Yeah, I guess so. And but you know, and I told my mom and my dad, bless his heart, he was the one that said, "Well, all right, if that's what you want to do, you can do that." But you know, I was talking to an 8-year-old kid. Of course, by the time I graduated high school, they really thought that I had lost my mind because you want to do what? So I went to California stayed with one of my older sisters out there, and I got in hair. I got into hair, and hair was my first foray into doing theater, and I just promptly took off everything I owned on stage, naked, and loved it. And then I called my mother and I told her.
Were you embarrassed, or that was just a very freeing experience?
No, I was not embarrassed. I was, you know, I had just turned 16 years old. Boy, I was just out there for the world to see and loved it, and called my mother and told her, and she just about had a heart attack, and she came out and she saw the show. She thought it was cool, and that's okay. So here I am in showbiz after all these years.
Wow.
You know that song, You'll Get a Pain and Ruin Your Tom Tom? Didn't Shirley Temple sing that song as well?
That sounds like what she sang.
Yeah.
I just pictured in a movie.
Yeah.
She recreated that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just, you know, thinking about that. But that was a great question that you asked Avery, whether she just felt free or she was embarrassed. I thought that was a very good question.
That is.
Well, what about you? I mean, how did you, what drew
you?
Oh,
I had no choice. My dad was a writer for Jack Benny.
Oh.
And, yes, he was. And so he was in the theater. And my mother was a teacher. And her favorite student was Shari. So I fortunately came out as Shari, and my dad literally pushed me into the theater. I was tap dancing and performing at 3. I was on the Star Time Kids dancing when I was, about 7 or 8. So I just progressed.
I met some of your Star Time Kids. Wasn't Carol Douglas a Star Time Kid?
Well, we would have to be around the same age, yes.
I'm not sure how old she is.
This was great because those were the days when kids went on TV. It was cute to tap and sing, and my mom would take me to the resort places in New York, and I had costumes. I actually had hand-sewn costumes,
mm-hmm.
and I would do the Bill Robinson routine with steps.
Oh, okay.
I was good.
That was Shirley Temple's thing, right?
Bill Robinson, Bojangles, taught her that routine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taught in that style of tapping.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just went on to be a singer. And my parents, you know, were like Mama Rose. They just pushed me on to this and that and that. And I didn't really have a choice. It wasn't like nowadays you ask the kids what they would like. It was, this is what you're going to do. You're going to take tap. You're going to take dramatic lessons. And then I went to summer stock at the age of 12, as I said,
mm-hmm.
got my equity card at 13. I worked with some old-timers who taught me how to put on makeup,
mm-hmm.
how to act. I learned on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it just progressed to directing, and then I did summer community theater. When I first got married, I was really tired of auditioning, and I said, I just got to stop and have some kids and take a break. And then I went to community theater where I learned about directing and producing, and then went out and did it professionally. So I've been doing this for my whole life. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it. That I was thinking while you were talking, saying, this is almost like the vaudeville thing. The kid gets is birthed and is in the suitcase and off on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. it was very much. I skipped the suitcase. what's her name? Judy Garland was born in a trunk.
Mm-hmm.
But at 3 years old, I was out there dancing up a storm,
mm-hmm.
and I was good, and my parents were fortunate because they got their wish. And
well, just
my
but
mom,
your father it, wrote for Jack Benny. I mean, he wrote all those quips that Jack Benny made.
Well, you know, at the time, and I think a lot of comedians maybe don't like to admit, but they had about 30 writers.
Mm-hmm.
Or my dad used to tell me that to make one joke was sometimes it took all night. It just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the writers, and this was in radio, when Jack Benny was on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And it was, so he was a funny, funny man. I got my sense of humor from him.
Mm-hmm.
And, it certainly.
He was so deadpan. You know, they actually
pardon?
Have something called Antique TV, and they bring him back. Him in Rochester.
Really?
Yeah.
They do? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's on Antique TV. They bring him back all the old shows.
Mm-hmm.
I
is
have
that
my
a channel?
Chance to see
Antique
him.
TV?
Yeah. And they've got Jack Benny on there. They've got The Flying Nun and Father Knows Best, all the old ones.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Is it? You mean it's on the Internet?
No, it's on network TV. I think it's like channel 11.3 or something like that on your digital.
Oh, that's funny. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah,
I'll have to check
new.
That out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Father Knows Best. I remember that.
Yeah, Father Knows Best is on
mm-hmm.
there. And I was surprised. And Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, I love those shows.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yes, that is great.
That.
But
yeah.
Yeah, but Jack Benny was one of a kind. One of a
mm-hmm.
kind. And there was a play called Laughter on the 23rd Floor, and they also had many, 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 many writers. And they were all men. I think there was just one woman who was one of the writers, and that was for Sid Caesar, who was also very, very funny. But it took so many writers.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad used to tell me how hard it was to write a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, because they have to come up with one every week, right?
Yeah, and you don't want anyone else taking it.
That's
and that
right.
was so great about Jack Benny, because he had his own style.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very, very nice man, and he was very generous,
mm-hmm.
Contrary to what he said that he was. So in answer to your question, it goes back. It was, you know, I didn't have a choice. I didn't study in college or do anything like that. I just was.
Mm-hmm.
I just went
well,
out and did it.
Well, I think sometimes that's the best thing, just do by doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Went out and did it, and it was great, and I would do it all over again.
Well, we're getting to the end of our time, but is there anything I haven't asked you that you want to talk about or say before we end the show?
Well, I just hope I get to work with Avery again in some kind of an Avery project. She does a show at The Colony that is to die for. I'm a fan of Avery Summers, I have to say, and I feel very honored to be on the same show as her. So,
thank you, Sherry.
Is this
a new
true.
Show, Avery, outside of the One Woman Show?
Yes, this is my cabaret, which fortunately for me, as I was saying earlier when I did all of those auditions and I didn't get calls from anybody, I decided that I was going to put together my cabaret. The cabaret has become yet again very popular. And there's a wonderful room here that all of the major, major cabaret artists want to come to, and it's called the Royal Room, and it's in the Colony Hotel on Palm Beach. And I will be going in November, this coming November, for 2 weeks. And I've got my dates already, and so now I'm beginning to work on my new show. But this is an hour show. I've done as much as, you know, I can do as much as 2 hours on my own, but usually we do an hour or 90 minutes or whatever is required. But this will be an hour show, and it's going to be my sixth time going into that room. So I've got quite a record going into that room.
So people who want to come to see that show can just call the hotel?
Call the Colony Hotel on Palm Beach. And my dates are November 23rd. I'm just going to take a quick look at the calendar just to be really sure. 23rd, starting on, yes, November 23rd, and it will end on December 1st.
Oh, that's great. Cheetah Rivera just closed. Was she still there? I think Cheetah Rivera is there now.
Right.
They've got some very big, great names, and it's a fabulous place.
Yes, yes.
You get all dressed up when you go there.
Right, you sure do. I love it. And people love, when they come to this room, they know what to expect, you know. So they get dressed, as you said, Sherry, and they know that they can have dinner there and the food is really good and they're going to get great service because the wait staff is very, very good and attentive and, you know, and it's a very petite, cute little hotel and they've got, it's just, I love it. So anymore, I do a lot of the cabaret rooms instead of doing, you know, 8 shows a week of a theater piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies, I'm going to ask you one more time, Sherry, to tell us where Hollywood Live is going to be because that's the next thing on your agenda, correct?
Yes. Well, it's the next big show. Yeah, I think that's the one. June 23rd, 24th at Hofstra University, and that's out in Hempstead, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the number is Nancy Anderson, Christine Bianco, and Ron Bomer, and Barry Levitt, who was the artistic director of the 92nd Street Y for many years,
mm-hmm.
will be musical director, and he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And the number is 516-463-6644. And if you do come, just come over and say you heard it on the radio, and that would be really fantastic.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Heard it on Lake Radio, Rainbow.
Yes,
Soul.
Lake mm-hmm. Radio.
Well, we're gonna say good evening to you both and wish you great luck in your prospective shows.
Thank you very much.
Talented ladies.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have been with you. Thank you very much for having us.
It's my pleasure.
Lots of fun. Thanks.
So, everybody, we're going to end the show, and we've just been listening to Avery Summers and Sherry Upton, and I encourage you to go see their respective shows, and especially those people out in Florida and the people that are in New York. Okay. Now, this is the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and I want to thank my listeners for making my topic topically yours. And we're going to end the
show with, well, why don't we end it with Audra McDonald singing Tomorrow.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick out my chin and grin and say, oh. The sun will come out tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow. Come what may.
Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.